Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. This is the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. Today is New Year's Eve worldwide. It's December the 31st, 2010. People are meeting in large cities all around the planet to bring in New Year's at midnight. Meanwhile, the world itself spins in frustration concerning the world economy, which again is down. Nothing really good has happened with it. The wars continue to rage. They were started by the globalist fanatics in the United States, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan. And nothing seems to have changed. Are you filled with joy over what's happening to the world and what's happening to America and Britain and Australia and the other countries of the Anglo-Empire? I'm not too terribly excited about it, to tell you the truth, and I thought that maybe tonight we should discuss prophecies by some would-be geniuses as to what is going to happen in the world during the next year. The first prophecy I'm looking at says that in 2011, Pakistan will continue to be the biggest terrorist nation in the world and follow its violent and treacherous and deceptive policies, that Pakistan will become the world's most evil nation on earth and will help to lead the planet to chaos and degeneration. Pakistan itself will be ruled by a terrorist army, the mafia, corruption, gangsters, suicide bombers, extortionists, fundamentalists, jihadis, and drug lords. Its existence will be dangerous for mankind's existence in peace. What do you think about that? I never thought of Pakistan as being that terroristic. I thought of it as a up-and-coming nation that was fairly Europeanized. It has nuclear weapons. It has a democracy. And it's a very, very large nation that used to be part of India. And I thought it was somewhat respectable, actually. The next prophecy says that Islamophobia in 2011 will grow around the world. Muslims will make Islam worse, making it cruel, violent, intolerant of 20th century. And the followers of Islam will be unwelcomed around the world, and that Muslims will face dislike and discrimination in every nation in 2011. I'm beginning to feel my juice sniffer working here in these prophecies that are on this one page here on the World Wide Web. Now, first of all, you have Pakistan, which is an Islamic country, and then Islam itself, a very Islamophobic prediction. That's one of the worst religions, and it just sounds to me like the Israeli foreign ministry. I think we have somebody at work here. Maybe the Mossad, I'm not sure. It's just a hunch. But my sniffer, my Zionist sniffer, is at full bloom. Another prophecy says that space exploration and tourism will grow. India, China, Russia, and the USA will reach for the planets and space stations. Science will make rapid strides with the building of fast rockets with great speed and landing on the moon by 2025. By 2040, four nations will reach the moon for scientific research, finding minerals and human settlements. I think what they mean is they will place a human settlement there. Do you think we'll have human settlements on the moon by 2025? I can't imagine wasting money on that, although it might be better than having a war in the Middle East. I think I'd rather spend my money on a space settlement on the moon than on some useless war around the world, which is just so wasteful. Of course, a settlement on the moon would be quite wasteful as well. You know what I'd really like to see? I would like to see the United States use its miniaturization to send out thousands of small exploring vehicles that are powered by sunlight. Little vehicles that maybe weigh less than an ounce, that have movie cameras in them, and that will float slowly over the surface of different planets, and will take movies of what the surface looks like, and do this over and over and over again for many centuries, so that we can actually, from our computers, watch these small cameras floating over Europa and Jupiter, Mars, Phobos, all of these planets and these moons. I think that would be very exciting. And I think it would be a lot of fun, especially to have clubs of people who want to be explorers of different planets and moons, to watch these things and make observations and write reports on them. I think that would be something that we could do in the future that would be very, very inexpensive and would be very productive for the human mind. Well, let's go with some more prophecies here, since this is New Year's Eve. Here's a prophecy that America and China will face more natural disasters, like tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, torrential rains, snowstorms, floods, and earthquakes, leading to much destruction of lives and property. Barack Obama's ratings will fall in 2011, and America's economy will weaken. The people of America will lose faith in Obama. Influence of America will decline in world affairs. America will continue to sell weapons to Pakistan and thereby endanger world peace. American wrong policies will continue to promote terrorism, instability in the world, killing of its own citizens and soldiers throughout the world by Pakistan-based terrorist groups. Okay, I get it. Somebody doesn't like Pakistan. It's so easy, isn't it, to read between the lines in the news and find out who's throwing the punches and what their agenda is. Here's another prophecy. Let's go to another place here. China's hegemony will grow around the world in international affairs, and Chinese government will indulge in false propaganda against countries and hoodwink its own public. Well, I mean, what's new? You could say that about America. You could say that about Britain. You could say that about Russia. You could say it about Nigeria. You could say that about General Motors. China will be a great threat to world peace and will provoke it, adopt coercive policies, threaten its neighbors, and create misunderstandings among nations of the world. I don't believe it. China is one of the most peaceful nations in the world. This sounds like it's written by the CIA or by the Mossad. This is crazy. Let's go find another one here. Here's a prophecy. India will be the great power by 2035, spiritually, economically, and militarily. The Indian economy will have a slowdown in 2011, with its GDP growth reaching 8%. Great scientific discoveries will be made by Indians throughout the world. India will become one of the richest nations of the world. Indians' great Sanatana Dharma, yoga, spirituality, popularity will soar worldwide. Inflation and interest rates will continue to be high in 2011 in India, and the government of India will lie to its people by manipulating statistics. Duh, isn't that what countries do? When they open their mouth, aren't they lying? Oh my. Britain will see its decline and its society destroyed by overindulgence in sex, drugs, money, alcohol, immorality, and gambling. The United Kingdom will continue to restrict immigration of people to its country on the basis of racial restrictions. India will demand looted wealth from the UK in times to come. Well, if you're going to decline, I would say it would probably be most fun to do it by overindulgence in sex, drugs, money, alcohol, immorality, and gambling. That would be the most fun way to have a decline. So if you're going to decline, Britain, you picked the right way, buddy. Another prophecy. Let's turn the page here. Let's see. European countries will see their economy getting weaker with a slowdown in 2011 and the public revolting against their own governments. Unemployment in Europe will increase. Famous politicians losing elections with humiliating defeats. Much of the world's discoveries, inventions, and jobs will come from China and India instead of Europe. Western countries will face much extreme weather conditions, bringing life to a standstill and causing economic loss. What does that mean? Cold weather? Hot weather? Tsunamis that reach all the way to London? What does it mean? I guess we'll have to wait to find out. Let's see. Turn the page here. Congress, government, and its allies in India will break all records of corruption. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. And there will be poor governance of India. Another no-brainer. India's Congress and government will also destroy all democratic institutions. Crime will flourish and the poor will suffer under its rule. And abuse of power will take place. The rich will become richer and Congress government ministers will loot public wealth and will be insensitive and unaccountable to the people of India. Its ministers will mislead the nation and will be hand in glove, forming nexus with corrupt industrialists to loot its own public. Government of India under Congress rule will not take India's internal and external security seriously and will endanger the country against threats. So, there you have that. I can drink to that. Sounds good to me. Yeah, it sounds good to me. Every country I know of acts like that. They're all cheaters, and they're all corrupt. They're all spending too much money and not giving enough money to the poor. But they sure do give money to the rich, don't they? It's the name of the game. Give money to the rich. They don't really take it from the poor. They just don't give it to the poor. They give it to the rich. They say things like, well, the rich are earning the money, so they should get, and they pay the most taxes, so we should give them the tax breaks. Well, I can see that, too, because the government ministers are all friends of the rich. They let contracts to the rich to build military bases, to make tires for military tanks and machinery. Those sorts of things. The rich are their friends. The poor just suck. They're sucking on the public teat and just taking money and coins from the federal governments that weaken them and make them cry for want of the ability to replace their wealth. Whereas the rich, well, the rich bring them money. You wouldn't want those darn poor people sucking on the government and licking away its money, would you? No, of course not. Bollywood movies will become more popular throughout the world and actors will achieve world recognition. International celebrity Aishwarya Rai will find it difficult to be a mother and conceive a child. Kareena Kapoor and Saif Ali Khan will not live happily in the future in their married life. Medical science will make rapid strokes and there will be breakthroughs in medicine in times to come. Cures and treatment for some types of major diseases and cancers will be found by men. Another prophecy, there will be no nuclear war in the future, nor will there be World War III in the future. Earth will gradually move towards peace after much annihilation of evil and humans. All predictions and doomsday prophecies for the destruction of life on Earth and the end of the world in 2012 will turn out to be false and untrue. Do you believe that? Well, that prophecy person believed it. It's as good as anybody else's opinion, I suppose. Here's one. Someone says Australia and New Zealand will continue to practice racism, and tourists, immigrants, and nationals of other countries will face violence. They will also face abuse. Foreign nationals will be discriminated and killed by Australians, and the Australian government will continue to brush aside the issue of racism, bringing their country into disrepute. Australian states will also be destroyed with wildfires and water shortages. Both countries will face earthquake ripples. Yeah. So much for the Aussies, huh? Here's another prophecy. Many of the top Al-Qaeda and Taliban terrorists will get killed in Pakistan and Afghanistan. But Pakistan's military will continue to train, fund more terrorists in training camps inside Pakistan to spread terror and blackmail around the world. Frustrated Pakistani army and ISI will secretly continue to support dangerous terrorist groups. My, my. Another hater of Pakistan. Asia, Indonesia, and the Philippines will face more natural disasters, including storms, floods, and earthquakes, leading to displacement and suffering of its citizens. Oh, now here's an interesting one. There will be a rise in corruption throughout the world. People around the world will make violent demonstrations against their governments. I'll drink to that. The world will see three great economies in times to come, led by India being first, China second, and America being third by 2035. World oil prices and commodity prices will rise, but will get moderated in the middle of 2011. Here's one about South America. Let's turn the page. South America will see more floods, earthquakes, diseases, outbreaks, unrest, and soaring crime rates, and gang wars. Their economy will rise, however. Turn the page. Iran's politicians will take Iran to misery and suffering. Iran will promote Islamic terrorism in Afghanistan and Iraq, and supply weapons and explosives to jihadis to kill Americans and NATO forces and promote instability in Afghanistan. There will be more sanctions for Iranian people and their life will be made more difficult. Well, that gets my juice sniffer started. It sounds like it was written by some Israeli goofball in the Mossad. World scientists will agree with findings of Indian scriptures that there are other species, beings and aliens in solar systems, planets that require no atmosphere, water and air like humans to exist. Discoveries will come in times in the future, and powers of the human mind will grow as it will be unveiled and will become stronger. Yeah, that's pretty pretty numb there. All right, let's see what else we can find here. Russia. Russia will develop new weapon systems and its role will grow in world affairs. Russian public will suffer from organized crime syndicates, suppression and injustice at the hands of the Russian government. Russia will face freezing temperatures and accidental fire incidents. Bomb explosions will also kill innocent people. Religious minorities will be persecuted. I don't agree with any of that. But who am I to say? Person might be right and I might be wrong. That's the beauty of prophecies of the year to come. Everybody can stick their fingers into the pot, stir it, and come up with whatever they want. It's kind of like an election that doesn't make any difference. And elections don't make any difference because they're already pre-decided before you ever enter the voting booth, and don't think they aren't. And this world predictions thing that goes on every year on the 31st of December is the same thing. Everybody makes their predictions, and a year later a few of them are remembered, but most of them are simply forgotten. But if you want, you can write to us at our website, which is AmericanUSSR.com, and let us know what you think about the future. What do you think's going to happen? That will be interesting. Because, well, I don't really have a cow in the race. I don't care. I feel that in the future we'll have just about the same thing we have had in the past. We'll have a world hegemony by the United States. We'll have hegemony over the United States by Israeli operatives such as IPAC and the Mossad, the Israeli government, and that our politicians will do whatever the Israelis want us to do because our country's been taken over by Israel. We are a Zionist-occupied government here. And it's very, very sad that a country that started off so proud as the United States has ended up in this minuscule position as a kiss butt to Israel. I have a humorous and very disturbing story about a young Charlottesville man who stripped down to his underwear at Richmond International Airport to protest security screening procedures, and how he was charged with disorderly conduct at the airport by police, who evidently disrespected his civil right to protest. Airport police identified him as Aaron B. Toby, 21. He told police he was a student at the University of Cincinnati. The incident occurred at 2:17 p.m. at Checkpoint B, the busier of the airport's two checkpoints, said airport spokesman Troy M. Bell. Bell said police reported that when they arrived at the checkpoint, they found Toby, absent of pants and shirt in full public view, espousing language regarding the Fourth Amendment written on his chest and abdomen with a marker or crayon. This terrorist message read, and I've used the word terrorist myself, I added that, the terrorist message read, quote, Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, unquote, Bell said. That was written in a marker or crayon on his chest. You see this terrible terrorist, what he did? He took all of his clothes off except for his underwear so that his private parts would be shielded from public view. And on his bare chest he had written Amendment 4 of the Constitution. Such a horrible thing to do, which says that the right of the people to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Well, this evil American terrorist was, of course, arrested and charged by the airport police in their little Boy Scout uniforms. And now he has to appear before a judge in Henrico County General Circuit Court on January the 10th. Because the airport police in their monkey outfits and the federal authorities in their monkey outfits issued a citation for disorderly conduct and released him. Many air travelers are upset by tough new anti-terrorism screening procedures in which they must choose between full-body scans by detectors, which of course give them cancer, or pat-down searches, which violate their persons. So here you have this young man who decided to do something. And he stripped down and wrote the Fourth Amendment on his chest. And to me, that's a perfect protest. But they said that that this was illegal. It was illegal to display the Fourth Amendment on your chest while you're wearing your shorts or your underwear or your gym shorts or whatever you had on. That he was making a mockery of these federal authorities. These federal authorities in their monkey clothes who feel that they are so super important and that the travelers need to be controlled. Like monkeys in a zoo, the travelers must be controlled and disciplined so that they will strip down, unzip their fly so someone can feel them, or stand in front of a radiation, cancer-leaking machine that might kill them. Because this is what they want. This is what the Jew, Michael Chertoff, wants, who is pushing these radiation machines. And, you know, these people, they don't care if you get cancer from this. You know, the scientists have already said, well, you might get cancer from it because it's loaded with radiation. And, but they don't seem to be worried about it. The same way, you know, they weren't worried about the soldiers getting cancer when they put them within a mile of the atomic bomb in Nevada, blew the bomb off, and then walked them across Ground Zero 10 minutes later just to prove that nothing would happen to them. And nothing did happen for about 10 or 15 years, and then suddenly they all began to die of leukemia until every one of them was gone. Are we going to wait until 15, 20 years from now when these people who fly all the time begin to pass away from leukemia? Are we going to wait for that? While Mr. Toby is arrested for disorderly conduct by standing up for the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable searches and seizures, don't you think it's unreasonable for someone to search in your underwear for a bomb? Do you think they're really looking for a bomb, or you think they're just fondling you? I think they're fondling you. I would like to see a bucket with the bombs they found in people's crotches. That's what I want to see. And I'd like to see a museum to bombs taken from people's breasts and to their gonadal regions by the TSA. I want to see a museum of the bombs that have been found. I'd like to see this. I think that it would be the smallest museum in the world, because I don't think that most people ever bring a bomb to the airport. I think it's all a bunch of BS. I think it's there, the TSA and the rest of it, to make you bow down to the authority of the federal government as often as you possibly can, so that the federal government can tell you that you are nothing, that your power is minuscule, but the power of the federal government, of His Imperial Majesty, Mr. Barack Obama, in His Imperial Federal Majesty, and His endless wars in the Middle East, is someone so far above you that you must allow him or his agents to fondle you anytime you want to fly on the big bird. And you've been letting him do this. What else are you going to do? Of course, what you can do is you can drive wherever you're going to go. You can stop flying. You can put the airlines out of business. Do you really need to go to your parents' home for Christmas if you're a college student? Or couldn't you arrange some other way to get there, like driving? I know that driving is a more dangerous way of getting there, but considering that they want to hit you with radiation that might actually give you leukemia in the next 10 to 20 years and kill you, wouldn't it be preferable to drive to your parents' house? Or maybe just to let it go and wait till school's out and then drive home and see your parents then? And maybe talk to them over the computer where you can see their face now in a private chat conversation with them as though you're sitting there with them. I mean, do you really have to support the airlines and the airports while the federal government's trying to erratically portray you as a terrorist and to stick their hands all over your private areas and humiliate you just so that you will become their slave? The embodiment of the raped slave of America? I mean, what difference is there between them doing this to you or that awful white slave owner that you hear about in literature all the time, who fondled the private parts of his slaves and had sex with them? Isn't the government having sex with you when they fondle you at the airport? And if they're not having complete sex, aren't they symbolically having sex with you and telling you that they are the overseer and that you are the slave and you, by God, are going to do exactly what the federal government asks you to do? And by showing them that you're willing to go this far and allow them to violate your privacy in this horrific manner that is totally illegal. Totally illegal. If you did this to somebody on the street, you'd be arrested. But these people are doing it in public in the airport, and no one's arresting them at all, because they have a federal license to violate your rights as a human being. Don't you think it would be better for you to drive home rather than to fly? Don't you think that you should stop flying to Las Vegas and taking trips that you don't really need to take? And that you should just put the airlines out of business? And don't you think you should work with foreigners and tell them they don't want to come to America as tourists because they're going to be felt up by a bunch of perverts at the airport? The stock market has ended with a second year of enormous gains. The question we have to ask is, are these gains really based on the worth of the market? Or are they based really on the federal government spending trillions of dollars, pumping up the market artificially, and intervening whenever the market starts to go down? I don't know if you followed the market, but if you look toward the end of each day, if the market has been headed downward all day long, suddenly in the last 5 minutes it goes up so that it ends on a slightly positive note. And this is an indication that there are people in the Treasury that are purchasing stocks at an enormous rate in order to artificially keep the market at an even keel artificially. It's pretty obvious because all you have to do is watch, and you see it happen almost every day. It's very rare that you see a day where everything goes down and then all of a sudden it crashes at the end. That never happens. It goes down and then the market manipulators step in and it goes up, goes down a while, then all of a sudden it zips back up again because the manipulators are standing there with scads of money to artificially hold this market high, so that it can get as many Americans and foreigners to put their money in the market as possible, so that when they pull the rug out the next time, these people will lose even more of their savings than they did the last time. because the name of the game in the market is to artificially drive it up, selling your shares as it goes up, and then when the suckers buy in, you set the treble hook in their mouth and you pull it so that it hooks them, and then they fall to the ground with no more money to spend, and all their shares are taken from their fingertips. That's how it works. You can't win in the market unless you are a banker who knows everything that's going on in the background. You have to be in with Wall Street. You have to be with Goldman Sachs or Bank of America or Merrill Lynch or some other company that has a long-term view of what's going on. I'm not even sure that Merrill Lynch is still going. I think maybe it is. I don't really care. If it's not there, then its employees are working for somebody else doing the same darn thing they did before, which is manipulating the market, interesting people in purchasing in the market even when they know it's going to go down, because these brokers really have no sense of shame. They need to make money for their families, so if it means that you lose your retirement, your ability to have a good life at the end of your life, well, that's too bad. Because, by God, I'm a broker, and my family needs to eat. So you'll just have to lose your shirt. And it's your own fault, because you trusted me, and you shouldn't have trusted me, because you knew that I was trying to sell you something. And if you knew I was trying to sell you something, you'd know that if I didn't sell it to you, I wouldn't make any money at all. So therefore, you know that I was lying to you. And so when you lose, hey, buddy, it's your own darn fault. Oil has surged recently, by the way, to the highest year-end price since 2007. It's based on the weakened dollar. Crude capped its second consecutive year of gains as the dollar dropped against crude. Crude is topping $91 a barrel to end 2010. Now, it's been as high as $150 a barrel. That was back around 2008. So it's going the bad way again. But you know, if you listen to CNBC, where all the quacks work, who want to tell everybody that everything's rosy when it really isn't, I mean, that's what they're there for, is to tell everybody that you should invest in the market, that the market's a wonderful thing. And when it goes down, they get very unhappy, and when it goes up, they get very giddy and happy, because they're greedy, and they're there to be on the winning side of an upward market, but not necessarily on the winning side of a downward market, because you can't string the rope both ways or it will unravel. And they certainly don't want it to unravel. It's been unraveling enough. So at any rate, oil is back to $91. I noticed that gas here in St. Louis, which is cheapest anywhere in the United States, we have the cheapest gas anywhere in the United States. It's about between $2.89 a gallon and $2.99 a gallon. But I can tell you right now, the way this oil is going, if it keeps going up, if it gets to 110 or 120 or 140, it'll be up to $4 a gallon, like it was before in 2008. And that's what they're going to try to get it to go to. And the reason they're going to do this is that they don't want to raise they don't want to raise the interest rates, because the federal government has a lot of money out there in short-term bonds. So if they raise the interest rates to slow down the economy, the United States will have to pay hundreds of billions of dollars a month in interest. So instead of slowing the economy that way, what they want is for the Wall Street, with the approval of the government, to screw you over by raising the price of the gasoline that it takes you to drive your car when you fill it up. If it costs you $80 to fill up your car instead of $40, then you won't have that $40 a week to spend on products. You won't spend it on restaurants. You won't spend it on going out to the movies. And the economy will slow down, and the factories will cease to turn out these products for you, because you won't be showing any demand because you'll be broke. Just as broke as if the banks were charging you 20% interest by doubling the price of your gas to $4 a gallon. They get a significant drop in demand and the whole economy cools off and the government sails by without having to pay another dime for interest rates to the Judeo-Bolsheviks in the banks who are their best friends. Now the Judeo-Bolsheviks don't totally lose out because the Judeo-Bolsheviks work with the government to drive the price of gasoline up by speculating on oil futures. So when the oil goes up to $1.40, $140 or $150 a barrel, well, the Judeo-Bolsheviks and the banks make money all the way up. If it crashes, they lose money all the way down, but as it goes up, they make a lot of money. And if it crashes, well, that's okay, too, because that means that there's not enough money in the economy to sustain even the speculation on oil, in which case the economy is so slow already that it's not going to cause inflation or anything. It's just going to create another implosion in the amount of money floating around so that, again, no one will be able to buy anything. It's just the perfect solution to irresponsibility by the government. Let's get everybody broke in a way that doesn't cost the government a dime for interest. How do we do it? We raise the price of petroleum. And we milk the money out of everybody's wallet when they fill up their car on the way to work or on the way to go shopping. And then find out they have no more money left on their credit card or in their bank or in their wallet. So they go home without buying anything. And the economy collapses. And we didn't have to raise interest rates, which would cost the government money. You see how nice that is? It's just about perfect. And they've been doing this to you for many, many decades. And I've watched it all my life. I'm 69. My birthday was a couple days ago. And you get this wisdom as you get older, which I have been able to get because I keep watching these patterns over and over again. And suddenly it begins to take in my mind where I understand how they're doing these things. And now I'm relaying this to you because you need to know that this is how they're keeping you broke. Don't you think it's a good thing to know how they're doing it to you? I do. I think it's a very good thing, and I learned it. You don't have to live 69 years now in order to come up with it. By the way, the U.S. stock market's climb this year above its 2008 pre-financial crisis levels boils down to just a few simple equations. And according to the experts, quantitative easing has trumped unemployment. In other words, the artificial easing of money by increasing it artificially has trumped the unemployment figures in terms of people investing in the stock market. They will invest in the stock market, and they'll do so if you just increase the money supply. It's exactly what they'll do. And that's just the way that it is. I was talking to my friends on the internet yesterday. Many of whom are just like you, who suspect the federal government of every wretched thing that the federal government could ever possibly do, which is far less than what the federal government really does, that comes under the definition of wretchedness. Because the federal government, like I said yesterday, every time a minister for the federal government opens his mouth to speak to you, that's when you know that he is lying. For instance, he's telling you that that there's less than 10% unemployment in America, when in fact it's closer to 20 to 25%, and we all know it. He tells you that the economy is beginning to heal itself, which you know is not true, because when you look out on the streets, you see almost no one is out driving. Tonight is New Year's Eve. Almost no one's going anywhere in St. Louis. Of course, we had some pretty horrendous weather here this week. But still, people usually go out for New Year's Eve. I don't know why they do. I never could understand New Year's Eve. But I don't drink. You see, if I drink a little bit of beer, I suddenly go to sleep. If I just a half a glass, I want to go to sleep. I could drink a little bit of wine, and I could probably last for 2 hours if I drank a little bit of wine, but the old peepers would start to droop, and I'd want to go to sleep pretty soon with wine. Not so bad with hard liquor, but I don't drink hard liquor. I grew up in a Baptist family, and my dad and mom, they were teetotalers, but when they got older, my dad asked me if I wanted to go out and have some drinks with him, because my mom had died, and he had married this woman that liked to drink, so he had learned to drink, and by the time he asked me if I'd go out and have drinks with him, I no longer wanted to have any drinks because I'd found out that it really wasn't good for me. It wasn't my thing. When I was younger, even it wasn't my thing. By God, I was going to do it because it was rebellion. It was something that a kid had to do in order to prove that he had a mind of his own. Especially a kid that came from a Baptist household like mine where nobody wanted to drink anything. I mean, it was so bad at my home that one night on New Year's Eve, actually, like tonight, I came home drunk and my mother pushed me down the basement stairs and I could have broken my neck. What a stupid woman to do that to me. Can you imagine? That is so ignorant. You know, kicking your son down the steps head over heels when he could break his neck because you're a Baptist and he drank. I told her, I said, Jesus drank. Jesus drank wine all the time. And she said, no, he didn't drink wine. No, 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 no. He drank water and grape juice. And they called it wine, but Jesus Christ never drank any wine whatsoever. Whatever. That was Mom. That was, you know, what are you going to tell her? Oh, you're mistaken or you're misinformed. What are you going to tell your mother? She obviously has made up her mind. She's not going to listen to you. You, her son, used to be a little baby that came out of her, and she had total control over you. And by God, even if you're 80 years old, she's going to look at you as though you're 1 foot long. And if you don't do exactly what she wants, she's going to remove the teat from your mouth, and you're going to die of starvation. Because she has control. And that's just the way that it is, isn't it? Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. That is just the way that it is. Absolutely. We were talking about mobile homes on the internet. Friend of mine up there, his brother has a contract with FEMA to move these used mobile homes across the country for sales and so forth of them. Now, these manufactured homes, they had to sell them because they found out that they had poisons in them. And I could have told them that because all my life I've lived in the country off and on, and I always had a thing for trailers, and I always like to look at the new models just for something to do on a Saturday afternoon. Well, there's the trailer place. Let's go see what the new models look like. Because it was kind of interesting to look at them, and they were always cheap, like $10,000 or $20,000 for a complete home delivered to your lot. So, you know, I would go through that little ritual now and then. And I used to live way down in the country and work on farms and all that. And in Missouri, the big thing to do if you want a farm or a home is to buy a piece of land, drill your water well, bring your electricity in, and put up a mobile home, which one that looks just like a regular home that has you know, the vinyl siding and everything, and the windows and the big doors, because you find it very, very expensive to bring all that material out to a site like that and then stick build it. It's better just to drag it there, secure it, put your skirts down, put a whole bunch of nice the vegetation around the house, nice gardens, this and that, trees, etc., and you're set. And anything that goes wrong, all you got to do is go underneath the house and fix it. The pipe's right there, 2 feet above the ground. If there's a leak there, you just go down there, crawl in, reach back and fix it. It's easy. Not like a stick-built house where some idiot has built the pipes here and there, and you don't know where it's at. You have to look over the whole house to find it, but with a mobile home, it's all done for you. You have a booklet that tells you where it's at. You go there, and voila, it's there, and you're in business. So at any rate, these mobile homes had to be removed because these regal African Americans from Katrina, as well as the trailer trash, the white European trailer trash, as people in the media are so fond of calling white people who live in trailers. You know, if the black person lives in a trailer, it's Jamaican royalty. But if the white person lives there, it's ignorant Ku Klux Klan neo-Nazi trailer trash. And you know what I'm talking about. There's two different judgments. If you're black, you're noble. If you're white, you're a savage. You know what I'm talking about. Any rate, I would go into these new mobile homes and I could smell the formaldehyde in them. There was formaldehyde everywhere. Everything they put in it was pressed together with formaldehyde. And it was poisonous. If I were a physician in the country, well, first of all, I wouldn't be a European. I would probably be Vietnamese because I don't know of any European physicians in the country. Every one of them is Vietnamese. Don't ask me why. You go down to Piedmont, Missouri, and you have Dr. Thieu of Vietnam. You know, this is just the way that it is. For some reason, white people aren't allowed to be physicians in country towns. Only Vietnamese, because only they, I guess, may be stupid enough to go there. Maybe they have to go there because they can't really do well in the city. And the people in the country, who are supposed to be a bunch of neo-Nazis, are actually more tolerant than anybody else. And they not only welcome these Vietnamese physicians to the country, they welcome their kids into their schools. They're very gracious to them. They're very friendly with them. They go to church with them. They date them. And they like them. At any rate, if I were a physician in the country, in which case I would be Vietnamese, for the reasons that I just told you, if somebody came in telling me that the whole family was sick, I would know that it was formaldehyde because I'd ask them, do you live in a trailer or a regular house? They say, well, we live in a trailer. Well, I couldn't very well tell them that the reason they were sick is that their government didn't care enough about them to make sure that they didn't have formaldehyde in their trailer to breathe every minute of the day. Because they like to think that their government cares about them, even though what it does is recruit them into the armed forces, blow their arms and legs off, and then not give them any medical care when they go to the hospital. And when they start to get something else like Gulf War syndrome, they tell them, oh, that's just your imagination. You can't be violent, ill, and dying of something that we can't diagnose, except that all of you seem to have gone to the Gulf War. They still believe that the federal government loves them, that the federal government is some kind of a big daddy that goes out and plays catch with them in the backyard every day, asks them questions about what they did at school, and pats them on the head, and takes them out to buy them some nice clothes now and then. This is their idea of the federal government. Federal government's never done that for them, but this is what they believe in their minds is what the federal government's doing for them. So at any rate, you can't tell them that their trailer has poison in it because OSHA isn't doing its, and EPA isn't doing its job and making sure that they build these things without formaldehyde fumes running throughout the trailer to kill people. But when they gave these to the Katrina people and the regal blacks were in them, along with the white trailer trash, they could let this happen to the white trailer trash, but they couldn't let it happen to the defenseless regal royalty of blacks that were in Katrina. So they withdrew the trailers from them, and now they've resold them to people. You can now buy your poisoned trailer from FEMA. Yes, you can buy your poisonous rejected trailer that's no good for the regal black people of Katrina and of Mississippi to live in, and it's no good for trailer trash to live in if they were suffering at the power of that hurricane. But you can buy it, and you can be a second generation trailer trash or regal black, and you can buy these for like $2,000 to $4,000 a piece, these trailers. I believe some of them are almost regular size. They might be a 50 or 65 feet long. They sell for around $4,500 delivered. Whereas a new one is something like, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And still has all of this, probably still has all of this deadly chemical coming out of the woodwork. So, the reason I bring this up is that I just find it interesting that they would remove the Regal Blacks and the Trailer Trash Whites from the Katrina trailers so that they wouldn't die of formaldehyde that's in them, and then turn around and pay somebody to sell it to you so that you could die from it. You know, the government works in strange ways, and it's there to help you. And I'm sure that when you go to buy the home, the federal representative, the salesperson, will say, oh, you don't have to worry about that. We have fixed the formaldehyde problem in these homes. These homes will not bother you. And like I say, every time people like this that are working for the government or for a corporation are talking in America, when their lips are moving, you know that what they're saying is a complete and total lie. My New Year's radio show is almost over. You see how fast this goes when you're having a good time? And why shouldn't we have a good time? We're living in the middle of the deepest depression that we've had since 1933. We are bogged down in a war that no one wants to end, because if we do, the banks will fail. Because the banks are making money by loaning money to the federal government for their endless wars. And if you end them, then guess what? Your banks will fail, and if they fail, then all these crazy products that they invent won't be sold. So no one will be buying our treasury notes, and so then the federal government will find that the dollar bill might become obsolete, and everybody will begin to collapse, and the economy will begin to look a lot like mashed potatoes. You're still hanging from the scrappy little blades of the mixer, and that they're beginning to harden on there, and that they're not going to be able to do anything either with the mashed potatoes or the mixer itself if you don't clean out the whole sty that you created with it. The sty that you created with your fake phony money, with your banks, with your wars, with your Judeo-Bolsheviks running not only the banks, but the lying newspapers, the lying TV stations, the lying movie theaters and movie studios. All the liars will be broken. And if they're broke, then what will happen? Will all of this false energy suddenly dissipate? Will you no longer be able to read lies about what holds the world together? And will there be any truths to replace the lies, since there's been so many lies? How long will it take people to regroup and to start looking at things from a different aspect and coming up with the truth instead of the lie? Because we've been so used to the lie that we probably don't even know what the truth is anymore. Because we've been lied to so much that we're like a dog that's been kicked, and suddenly the boot is removed and the dog isn't being kicked anymore, and so it keeps coming back to the owner and brushing against his leg, hoping that it will be kicked again, because it's getting nervous and it'd rather be kicked than not kicked, because to be kicked, the dog thinks, it's being loved. Well, That's what's happening with us right now. If we're not lied to day after day, what will we do? We'll be totally confused. We'll be pathetic. Oh, I'm sorry, we're already pathetic, aren't we? I almost forgot.